This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
This has been, for me, a pretty overwhelming 3 weeks. You might think, well, it's because Bev was away. Well, maybe there's something in that, but I really believe that God actually orchestrated all that for my sake. Because I actually do lean on Bev a lot for a lot of things. And in the church, we have so many props now for our faith. Isn't it incredible? We have all this musical talent, all the giftings that God has given us. What about all the words of knowledge that we have, all the giftings that we have there? They can be a blinding thing to what God is wanting to really reveal. And you know, when I read the scripture, the Bible says, well, Jesus said, Father, thank you, you've hidden these things from who? The wise and the prudent. You know, the philosophy of this world that we're to beware of, which is called vain philosophy and empty conceit, because it's all about us trying to do self-improvement. It's all about us saying, God, I've got a handle on it now. Just back off. I can do it. And every time we do that, we dull the work that only Jesus can do. He has begun a good work in me and in every one of you. He has begun a good work. Guess what? He is the only one who can continue it and the only one who can complete it. So it's a good thing when you come to the end of yourself, because that's where God can start doing his work. Think about all your strengths that you have, your talents that you have. Why is it that God reveals these things to people who are broken, to people who come to the end of their tether, as it were, and they've got nothing else to rely on except him? They're the ones that God can show what he has done. So, as I said, this 3 weeks have been astounding in a way. So God's revealing some stuff in my own heart. And, you know, we had the 3 days of prayer and fasting here, and God has been showing me areas in the church that are like an abomination to him. And it's actually all our good works. And I'm hearing prayer. I'm hearing people talk about their giftings and how God's using them. And I'm wanting to scream, shut up. So, okay, he's showing me an area, but what about my own response? What about my heart? So this has been, I've said to some people, I've felt like I've been absolutely through the ringer quite a few times. And I'm not saying that for anybody to say, poor David, because it's not about me. And I can get caught up in that and receive all that as a prop again. So all the things, we've got so much today that we can rely on, that we actually don't need God. We would never say that. We would never pray that, but it's actually how we act. So, I'm just astounded at how God's been speaking to me through completely different circumstances. I've had a lot of people come up to me, and it's been really good, telling me that I've been very harsh and like angry and legalistically. And at the same time, I've had people telling me, David, don't back off. Keep preaching the truth. And what I could have done is then, okay, pick either side. I'll pick the ones who are for me and tell the other ones, go jump. So, but at the same time, I'm wanting God. So this 3 days of fasting, I called for the whole church, and it was for repent, repent, repent. It's about these things that I've been just talking about. And I guess I came here and I was actually quite disappointed, just in my flesh. But God started to do some stuff. I remember being here and praying, singing my song, singing over the top loud. And I know that can upset some people. People say, well, is God deaf? No, because you don't even have to open your mouth. He'll hear it. It was for me. I was shouting aloud for me. I needed to hear what I was saying for myself. So let me tell you, this is a journey for me that's probably happened for, I don't know how many years, just really, God, I've got to know you. I've got to know you. And all I know is I've got to seek God. If I seek him with all my heart, I will find him. So I would just spend time seeking God. Times I'd walk, we'd have a meal, sit down, Bev, I've got to go. See you later. And just walk, might come back. Much later on, we'd come up here, sitting in the church, in the dark, just crying out, God, you've got to do something. God, I've got to know you. And there are things that I'll actually read them out. It's almost like 3 prayers that I was just crying out to God because of that. If you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. Seek the Lord, it says in Isaiah 55, while he may be found. There was such an urgency that there's not much time left. And God says, seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And so I hear people talking about their experiences, how God has touched them in an amazing way. And yes, that's good. But to me, that became the biggest hindrance to a heart waking up. Because we can settle in complacency. Oh, yes, God spoke. He's given me a gift. I've got a gift of healing. I've got a gift of prophecy. And so I think in this church, I was speaking in a very negative way, mocking those sorts of things. I think I used terms like, you know, bully for you and all that sort of thing. God's rebuked me for that kind of sarcasm. But it was my indirect way of trying to get the message across, and it actually didn't get the message across. It distracted from the message. So there was a lot of flesh in what I was saying. So these are the prayers that I was praying. I'd be walking at night and morning, crying aloud, breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I might love as you love and do as you do. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, till all this earthly part of me glows with your fire divine. And I don't even know what that really is. All I knew was there was a tremendous lack in my life, and I wanted to know God. I didn't want gifts. It wasn't miracles that I'm after. And that's why I warned this church about boasting about those things. Don't you dare do it. He who boasts, let him boast in the Lord. What's our boast should be? That we know him. That we know him. And that's why that challenge about, are you getting before God? Are you face to face with God? And I want you to do that to me. Isn't it? We've got to seek his face together. Seek his face. Because God is so longing for his church. You know, we can be in a relationship, and in the early days, oh, it's wonderful. Nothing is a sacrifice just to spend time together. Nothing. That's all you want to do. That's all you want to do. Isn't that the Ephesian church? He says, you're doing amazing things. You're laboring. You're speaking the truth. You're dealing with false prophets and false teachers. You're doing amazing things. But he said, I've got one thing against you. We have left. We have made a decision that we're going to leave our first love. What that means is other things have become more important to us than God. When Bev and I committed to love one another, made a promise to love, and then over the years, other things come in that I would never have said were more important than Bev. I'd be up here preaching about Bev's the one that God's commanded me to love. And yet the truth is that other things have come in and a distance has developed. So God is wanting to deal with that in our hearts. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew that I might love as you love, not as I love. I don't want to try to imitate you anymore. I don't want to do the best that I can do to try and imitate you. And that's why I say those things about trying to be a church that's be all and end all. Les, and didn't I speak to you guys? You guys almost driving them away. And I want you to come to the church because I'm trying to attract you. I want you to come to a church that's on fire for God. And if that's what you want, then, and God's called you to be here, then that's it. We are not trying as a church here to be a wonderful church. That we've got great worship. We've got great teaching. Miracles are happening here. I couldn't care less about that. I want people to come and get back in right relationship with God. And so the prayer, the song, the worship that Bev just gave then be the heart cry of every one of us. Another one. Till your fire glows within me. Another one. Draw me, Lord. I'm shouting this stuff out in here. Draw me, Lord, by your mercy. Draw me, Lord, by your grace. Let me live in your boundless love and behold you face to face. It's the words of a song, but it's a prayer. I'm crying this out. I think my spirit was crying it out, and I'm trying to work it out in my head. Another one, awaken my heart to love and adore you, O my God. Awaken my heart to bow down before you, O my God. Awaken my heart to know your love and to love you in return, freely flowing from an awakened heart. Every one of us need that love. We've spoken about the love of God in this place. We've spoken about the holiness of God in this place. God is holy and he is love. And he loves me. Maybe I can come close. He's holy. And that's what I was seeing a lot of. He's holy. He is a jealous God. I'm asking for the fire of his love to burn in me. He is a consuming fire. He said, I'm a jealous God. What does that apply to? Doesn't it apply to a marriage relationship? Love is as cruel as death. Love is as strong as death. And it is as cruel as the grave. Have you ever considered that scripture? The Bible says, behold the goodness, his love, and the severity, he's holy. In the Old Testament, Moses was commanded to approach God. He was commanded to offer all of these sacrifices. And when he had done it exactly as God commanded him, to the very last detail. You see, if we really love God, we will obey him. Are you obedient? Am I obedient in all things? Or do I make all these silly jokes? Because, well, that's what you do to get people's attention so that you can get the message in. And look, I'm not against joking, okay? But this is a very serious time right now where God is wanting to get the control back in his church. It's actually, he wants the heart of his church back. He wants the heart of his people back. That's what he's after, and he's a jealous God. It's no good if our relationship has distance and I'm, you know, just like a husband can, well, I'm going to work every day, don't I? Isn't that proof enough that I love you? No, it's much more than that. Or I cook your meals for you. Isn't that proof enough that I love you? It's much, much more than that. And every one of us knows that. So why do we treat God like that? Well, I went to church for a whole year and God never touched me. He never did what I was looking for him to do. I'm giving up on the whole thing. It's all a sham. It's all a farce. We do the same thing to him, but he is faithful. Did I finish that awaken my heart thing? I did. Freely flowing from an awakened heart. There. So he's holy. In Jesus Christ, the Bible says mercy, love of God, and truth. See, what we do, okay, I can draw near. Oh, God, you love me. Okay, that means I can get away with stuff. Doesn't it? Doesn't love mean you can get away with stuff? Truth demands to be answered. It demands it. Says in Jesus Christ, mercy and truth met together. We have dulled the cross. We have made it a philosophy and a feel-good thing. As I said the other day about running to the cross, oh, I've blown it again, but your love, thank you. Yeah, that's right. Your blood, if I confess it, your blood will wash me clean. And then we run back to doing and serving and loving what we love till we feel guilty again about some fall, some error, which is just our performance, our filthy rags before God, how we think we're behaving well. And it might be in your mind that you go to church every Sunday, that's it, got it, I'm one who really loves God. Or you make sure you read your Bible every day, yep, I'm tick that one, that proves I love God. Or you pray every day, or you do all the list of self-righteousness things that we can do. If you love somebody, nothing is ever a burden. So God starts speaking to me about things in my own heart. And it only actually came together when I was at the airport waiting for Bev. He spoke to me about rejection in my own heart. So just keep that in mind, rejection in my own heart. And what, this is just me, okay? I guess we all react in different ways, but this is me. Rejection in my heart caused me, how do I say it? Well, Bev, how many years have you had the seen the evidence of rejection in my own heart? I was struggling. I had, and striving, trying to do what God wanted, because I wanted him no matter what it cost. But people were hearing from me, and I praise God for them saying it, David, when you declare up here, back in Bible college, for instance, when I said I made that decision, no matter what, I was going to seek God. I don't care if everybody else backs off. I won't. That is a slap in your face, isn't it? I'll prove to you that I love God. I'll prove that I want to do the right thing. So he showed me the rejection and how I received. There were many people that spoke to me. And I remember this time about, David, you're harsh. You've got to remember there's grace and there's mercy. And I thought, yeah, that's right. And I remember thanking, but I just came under such heaviness. And I'm praying for about 2 hours. God, I've got to get free from this. See, that's rejection was operating there. Rejection. How I deal with rejection is I'll withdraw from a person. That's why I say Bev has been or received the brunt of that. I'll give you the cold shoulder, or I'll withdraw from you. I won't say a lot, but I'll just withdraw. So he started to show me that was in my heart. I said, God, I've got to get free from this. And I remember I came home. Do you mind me, Andre? I rang Andre. Andre, you've got to pray for me. I'm feeling such heaviness. I know God has spoken to me in where I'm going. I know that was right, but it's like I just can't keep going. And so Andre had just been reading a devotional that week, and he said, David started to tell me what this devotional was about. It was talking about God fighting the battles. The battle is the Lord's. And he sent me the devotional, and it just so spoke to me, because it was about Amalek, who I've told you is the flesh. Our flesh doesn't want to serve God. And so I know our flesh has to be dealt with. So I'm, in a sense, trying to help God to kill the flesh. You know, I've got the hammer, I've got the nails, I'll go for it, God. I'll do it. Amalek's the flesh, and that's where God said to them to be still. The battle's the Lord's, it's not yours. And in that devotional, it was about Jacob. You know the story of Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord? And I've always said, yeah, rest, prayer. Just got to not give up. Keep praying through, not give up. And so I'd made that determination, I don't know, I think it was 3 years ago, I wasn't going to give up. But it was in my own strength. And so God started. Jacob, you know, Jacob didn't win the battle because he didn't give up. He actually won the battle when he gave up and couldn't do anything. And realized, yeah, I'm not going to win this battle. God's the only one who can win it. Jacob, the Bible says, was a deceiver, a manipulator. Man, was he a schemer? You look at Jacob's life, and what did he do? He stole his brother's birthright. He stole the blessing off his father by dressing himself like his brother Esau, who should have had the blessing. And his father gives him the blessing. And I thought, man, I would have thought God, the Bible says, God says, Esau or Jacob I have loved, and his brother Esau I've hated. I thought, God, I would have hated Jacob. Esau, he was a go-getter. He went out and hunt deer and got it and prepared food for his old man. And but Jacob is the generation, the Bible says, of those that seek the Lord. He's our type. Yes, we're going to have lots of struggles. I would never have learned that unless I'd gone through what I went through. It's easy to say, oh, just trust God because the Bible says this and that, the battle's the Lord's. But I wouldn't have learned that unless I'd gone through that. It's not going to be easy. But there's something about the love of God that draws us. He draws us by his mercy. He draws us by his grace. Because he's looking from each one of you and me for what he wants to get. He is love. He wants communion with you. God actually wants fellowship with you. He knows his holiness is actually going to burn you up. But he wants fellowship with you. When we look to the cross, when we look to what Jesus has really done for us, it awakens something in our heart that God is looking for. It's the message of the cross, which is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Well, the Greeks, the Bible says, want wisdom. They want to work it out. Want to translate it, how to try to understand it, get a handle on it. Oh, got it. And so we can quote, the cross is the power of God to salvation, blah, 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 and we can say why. And that's not it. The Jews, they look for what? Signs and wonders, power. So it's in the gifting, it's healing, it's this, it's that. And that'll do it. That'll demonstrate what God's trying to do. It's not that. The Romans, well, they just trampled everybody under their foot. They were going to put up with any kind of weakness. Just kill it, get it out of the way, and show we're strong. And those three things we can all fall into. We all fall into. We try to prove our love. And the fact is we've got empty hands, just as Bev prayed. We've got empty hands. All that I am, all I shall ever be, cannot repay the love debt I owe. I surrender. I just surrender. I surrender to you. That's what he's after. Isn't love an amazing thing? When I was driving to the airport, God was showing me rejection in my heart and why I reacted the way I did. And I'm, God, you're speaking to me though. I'm feeling, okay, God, what I'll do, I'll just shut up. I'll just let others do it. Can you hear the withdrawing? Even to God? So my rejection was what makes me pull away from God. And the Bible's saying, if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. That's where we're all at right now. That's where the church is at right now. He has brought us near. He's already done it. He's brought us near. Didn't he say that to Israel? I've carried you on eagle's wings. When you were in a helpless state, couldn't do anything, I brought you on eagle's wings to what? Myself. That's what he wants. He brought me to himself. And I didn't really realize what it was that causes the separation between, I say, God, it's this, it's that. It's my own heart that needs healing. And so I'm at the airport sitting there, and Bev was on the plane for an extra hour before he got off. Oh, God. I'm sitting there, and he's speaking to me these. There are two things that the Bible says we need to do with all our heart. Only two things. Well, I guess out of that you can include everything. But there are two things that specifically we are told to do with all of our heart. First one is, you shall love the Lord your God with what? All your heart. And if it's all your heart, that your mind, your soul, your strength, of course it's all there. It's all there. So he's talking to me about that. Then the second one, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Two things. Isn't that those two things? That's where believing comes out of. Do you know that? Trust, the old song, trust and obey. There is no other way to believe in Jesus is to trust and obey. We only obey him, why? Because we love him. Jesus said, if you love me, what? If you obey me, you're going to abide in me. Isn't that relationship that he's looking for in all of our lives? And His commandments, it says in 1 John 5, are not burdensome to us. Do you find that the commandments of God are burdensome? You know that there's something wrong with the relationship when it becomes a burden. Suddenly I'm not happy to do things for people. You're always asking me to do that. Or doing it without any grace. Love is never burdensome. That's why the Bible says his yoke, his lordship is easy and his burden is light, even to the point of laying down your life. It says in the Song of Solomon, if a man were to give all that his household had for love, it would be utterly despised. You just can't compare it. Can't be compared. That's what God is wanting to waken up in every one of our hearts. So that's the goodness of God. He's made a way where there is no way. Jesus Christ. It's when we look at him. So for myself, and I think rejection is something that every one of us struggle with in areas. What does it say in Isaiah 53? He was what? Despised and rejected. Forsaken. We didn't esteem him. He carried that so that we can be healed. He carried that for me so that I can be healed. So I'm sitting at the airport. God, I trust you with all my heart. I love you with all my heart. Heal my heart from rejection. I don't want to withdraw from anybody anymore. I don't want to withdraw from you because you're saying right now, draw near, what? With a true heart. A true heart is a believing heart. And a believing heart comes out of loving him with all your heart and trusting him with all your heart. And so when he commands you to do something, like I've been trying to say, you've got to get crucified. I've been trying to push you on the cross. The word is true. I've been trying to get everybody there because of the urgency of the hour, but I can't do it. Only he can do it. And his love will drive us there. All that I am, how can I repay? So as Suzette saw, that just, all of that, it's all of that combined. And as I say, it was only yesterday afternoon it started to clarify. I've gone on longer than I thought. Is that all right? Feel free to do whatever, you know, and nobody's going to look at you and think, oh, that backslide or anything like that. Because we're to love one another fervently. And with rejection out of my heart, I can love. Like I said, I felt like I'd been through the ringer with trying so hard to do what God wants, but knowing there was something wrong. Say, God, I've got to have your love. And I was so glad that over that time I prayed those prayers. Burn in me. Breathe on me. Another one I prayed. Reign in me. Sovereign Lord, reign in me. Not in this church, not do things in this church that would prove that you're on the throne and we're on the right track. No. Reign in me. Sovereign Lord, reign in me. Captivate my heart. Let your kingdom come. What's his kingdom? It's love, it's righteousness, it's peace, it's joy in the Holy Spirit. Let your kingdom come. Establish here. Everybody point here. Establish here your throne. Let your will be done. Reign in me. When he's reigning, it will flow out of you. You won't have to try to make it happen. It will flow out of you. And you'll hear his voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. You won't be comparing yourself, oh, I've got to pray like Bev prays. I've got to do what Shauna does. I see a zeal there. Or I've got to do like Andrew does. None of that comparing will come into it. You will know his voice and you will follow him because you love him with all your heart. And it's just, you stand astounded. God, you put your love in my heart. You did that. By simply looking to you and looking what you do. Isn't that right throughout the Bible? God says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. So, let's look to him. Don't get caught up with the things that we're right at the end of the age when Jesus said, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will what? Grow cold. Do you sense in your own heart a growing cold? He says if you love this world or the things in this world, the love of the Father is not in you. I'm treating that is very serious. So I don't want to, if I see it, because in a brother or a sister, I see it in your actions. I don't want to beat you up for it anymore, which I would be prone to doing. I've got to give you a warning, but it's got to come out of a cry. It's got to come out of a cry. So I'm not going to, if God shows me, I want to speak directly. to you, to whoever he says. I'm not the be-all and the end-all, but I know I've got to be honest before God. And if he shows me something, well, David, don't talk about it, don't laugh about it, don't be sarcastic about it, don't mock it. Speak directly to the person because you love them with my love. And the best way to do it is do it weeping. Do it brokenhearted. Do it weeping. This, we are in a very serious time. And God's going to start speaking to people. He's going to, that thing about waking up. Jesus said, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? Well, I don't want to whip you into praying. I don't want to do that. But all I know is what happened with me. And with all my manipulation, just like Jacob, I've tried to use that on you. I've done it that way, but I know it's right. Even though I've done it, gone about it in the wrong attitude, I know it is right. Don't be content just because you've got gifts of healing, gifts of words of knowledge, whatever, or you understand the Bible really well. Don't be content with that. Pursue God with all your heart. Can you stand up, please? Okay, here I'm back into the chucking it all on Bev. I can't do that. Can you pray with me, please? Father, Father, Abba, Father. You said that we should worship you in the beauty of holiness. There is something precious and intimate in the marriage covenant and the marriage bed. There is nothing more intimate in the flesh that you can have. The Bible says that the marriage bed is undefiled. There is something precious there. Well, the Bible says that the king has brought us into his chamber. Chamber. We're talking about a bedroom. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Because two become one. The world is looking not for our imitation of God, not for our imitation of God. They want to see God. When we become one with him, one with him in heart. The Bible says we are one spirit with him. And Paul spoke that to the Corinthian church that had a lot of immorality happening. But he declared that truth to them. And it was that truth that was going to set them free. It was that truth that was going to purify them. Not trying to clean up their act on the outward and say, ta-da, here I am. No, it was that truth. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Father, here we are. We acknowledge that you have brought us this far by your grace. Lord, draw me and we will run after you. For the king has brought me into his chamber. I will rejoice in your love more than wine. Lord, we will rejoice in you. And we say as a church, we love you And we want to prove that by our obedience out of that love. And we trust you with all of our heart. Thank you, Father, for what you are doing in each one of us in this place. Lord, you said we are our brother's keeper, and that we would not see your face unless our brother was with us in our heart. God, thank you for your love that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we worship you, praise you, and give you all the glory. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.